for the long shot.
That's what they do, is going after worms?
Sure, that's right. That's right.
Huh.
But we have a lot of our hogs that we have with better grade hogs than that, and they root and mess up and all, but they were just a lot better hogs.
Well, were they mean? Were they
chasing? You'd have some hogs. Now, the hogs that would chase you, about the only one that would really chase you, if a hog had a litter of pigs, and you got close to them, and after the, for the first few days anyway, you got around them, or you'd have a sow there, and that's what we'd call a sow had pigs, and as a general rule then, they'd have about 5 or 6 pigs. Now, a sow will have about 8 or 10. They just bred them up that way, and they got better ways of taking care of them. But yes, sirree, I reckon they would. They would get at you.
What's the difference in a hog and a boar?
A hog and a boar? Well, a boar is nothing but a male hog. It's still a hog, but a male hog. And a female hog is a gilt. Now, a female hog is a gilt. That's G-I-L-T. Until they have a litter of pigs, and once they have a litter of pigs, then they are a sow.
Well,
but a boy is a male.
What's the difference in a hog and a pig?
A hog and a pig. A hog is a big pig, and a pig is a little hog. That's the big difference. That's the only difference it is.
Okay, Dave, tell me about the barn that was on Granddaddy's place.
Well, the barn was situated right across the road in front of the house that where we described and where we lived, and it was right next to the road because there wasn't a lot of traffic at that time. And we had places for the mule to stay. We had a corn crib, and some years you'd make a lot of corn, and some you wouldn't make much, and it's just according to the weather. If you had a long drought or something, you wouldn't make much corn, but you had to have a crib and a place to shell it.
What's the stuff on the outside of the corn?
Oh, that's the shuck is on the outside of the corn, and then the inside is the kernels, and then the kernel is attached to the cob, and you just sometimes you would always shuck it for the mules, but then they would shed it themselves, but you could shed it if you wanted to. And as far as with the hay and the barn, we had a hole in the middle of it, and we would had a horse that we would make, and we would bring this hay up. We'd take a rope and tie it to a tickle up in there, and have one man up high above this hole that's cut out in the loft of the barn. The loft is the thing overhead the barn that held the hay, and you have one man tying it with the rope at the bottom and the other man up in the loft, and it would come up there. Then he'd get on the platform and put it up there. And you had places for the mules out there, and you had a trough for each an individual mule to eat in. And once in a while, particularly when you worked them a lot and they got out on the hard road, they had to be, you'd have to shoe them. You'd have to have horseshoes, and if you used metal shoes and long regular horseshoe nails, and you had a...
Did you put horseshoes on mules like you did on...
Just like this, you would. Now, you wouldn't have to. If it stayed in soft ground all the time, you wouldn't have to, but you'd put them on mules just like you would the horse. If the feet got to hurt them, and you could tell they start limping a little, and that would and then you would shoe them. Now, we didn't do it themselves. We had regular horseshoe people that did that all the time.
Would you nail the shoe right into the hoof?
Right into the hoof is right. That's exactly right. That's what we did. Nailed it right into the shoe, and it didn't hurt them. No, it didn't hurt them a bit in the world. A mule would, in other words, if you ever made a wrong, if you did it just exactly right, you wouldn't hurt them at all, but